Welcome to Crosspoint. An interactive program featuring ministers and leaders of the Christian community addressing the issues that are challenging the church today. Here's your host, Mark Taylor.
Welcome to this edition of Crosspoint. I'm Mark Taylor. My guest today is Denise Schick. She's the founder and executive director of Health for Families, dealing with various family situations like the one we're going to be talking about today concerning the LGBTQ movement. Well, Denise Schick, welcome to today's Crosspoint. This is a really hot topic we're talking about today. And I remember when I first picked up on your book, Moving Forward in Hope, and then I noticed you had a workbook, so we asked to send the workbook as well, Moving Forward in Community. We're going to be talking about both of these today. But this is a pretty tough spot. It's, of course, grown over the last several years, probably because it's came out more in the public and been pushed more into the public. I know that you say, according to estimates, there's about 5.6% of Americans that are self-identifying with this LGBTQ movement, and that's up quite a bit from what we used to hear. But has that number arisen because it has came out in the open more, and so now more people are exploring this?
You know, there's a couple reasons that we're seeing this. Number one, these are signs of a generational shift among young people who have grown up since same-sex marriage became legalized, which marked by, you know, a remarkable increase in those that identified somewhere in the LGBT labeling. And so we have to realize that this is a time where marriage, traditional marriage, was no longer the only way of life, supposedly, you know.
Yeah.
And in that as well, there have been changes in our schools and the school system. And unfortunately, many times parents were not aware of what their children were being taught. You know, you're even talking about preschool age with the books in the library, the person that's reading them stories. So this has been going on for a while now.
Yeah, and I like the way you do the book here, because you tell a lot of stories as, you know, a chapter opens up here in the book, you know, of a situation where somebody's had to address this. I'm assuming this has probably been over the years of you talking to people and the different situations you've had to face. But right in the front part of the book on page one, at the bottom of the page, it says, a loved one identifying gay or transgender spoken in the homes of Christian families at an alarming rate. And, of course, out of immediate response is usually shock and disbelief, which is, I guess it's difficult enough to understand when it's just out here in the normal old world. But when it comes into the home of a church family, a Christian family, that makes it even harder.
Yeah, I think it makes it more difficult because as parents, when we're raising our children in a God-centered home, you know, we would like to, we believe that they will be protected from the outside influences, as well as just, you know, the difficulty with fleshly desires that come about from different brokenness. And our children could even get involved in drugs, and we're like, what? I raised them in a Christian home. You know, so that category of what happens to us parents, we're doing the best job that we can, and I think that we need to remember that, and to also remember that we do live in a fallen world.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Now, just a few pages down on page four, it says, or you say, too often trying to find some assurance in life's uncertainty, we attempt to force-fit God of the universe into a small box enough for our infinite minds to comprehend. And then you talk about a few lines down. Walls crumble, dreams evaporate, and God says, trust me anyway. And that's about all we've got sometimes, isn't it, when we're faced with something that is just not natural or normal for us.
Any Christian can say that I trust the Lord with all my heart when things are really going well, or even if there's some, you know, different valleys that we're going through. But throw us some valley that seems so steep when a loved one comes out as LGBT, when they've been raised in the church, when we've done a good job in our parenting, and we don't understand what's happened. It's just the depth of where this can take us in our own despair. We can begin to doubt God. And therefore, we aren't trusting him with all our heart because our situation seems out of control, which really it's out of our control, not God's.
Yeah. Now, being that you've dealt with this area, what do you do when you get a call from a parent, a husband, a wife, a child, you know, saying my mom, my dad, my husband, my son, my daughter have went into this lifestyle and I, you know, they're just falling apart because they can't believe it. Number one, I've read some of your stories in here and some people are just shocked. They had no idea this was coming. And how do you talk to people when they're so emotional?
You know, I think one of the things that the church that would be so helpful to the families is, first of all, to be patient and just listen. Sit there with them as they are going through the shock, the grieving process that they're feeling. It isn't just the grief of, you know, what their loved one has decided to do at this time, but they're feeling a loss for the dreams that they had, where they thought they would be or their child would be in it today. And so there's a lot of losses. Or, for instance, as you said, a spouse whose husband has decided that he's now gay, leaving her for another man, or that the husband's leaving to transition. So everybody is becomes shattered through these different situations, as you read throughout both of these resources that I've created.
Yeah. Now, I don't know how you tell people, but I know how I've had to experience different things dealing with people. But I can remember once a man who had a son that was trending this way. They had talked about it, but the dad could not keep his temper. You know, it just infuriated him when he started talking to his son about it. Lo and behold, they sent the son to me to talk to him and me to be the mediator between the dad and stuff. I begin to see, as I talked to the young man over a period of time, some of the problems that was between him and his dad that was could maybe be rectified, but I never could get anything to really get root and go on from there. But how do you deal with the situation when you've got people? I mean, this is high emotion stuff for some people.
Yeah, it is. You know, and I'd like to backtrack that when we discover as parents, if we even, you know, believe and know, feel conflicted that there's some way that we have, I'm going to say, wronged our child, maybe used the wrong attitude, like you're talking about the dad being very angry about it. That didn't help at all. It didn't help the situation, and it certainly didn't provide where dad was a safe place for the son to talk to about his struggle, the connecting that was failed, that, you know, possibly, definitely, I believe, could have been better. But that's just our human nature, isn't it? We become angry and we can say things without thinking about it, to take in what we're hearing a loved one to say, and to realize, number one, though we might not see it, it took courage. It took courage for them to come to us with what they're struggling with or how they're seeing themselves. Yeah. Now, what's important is that the way that we respond. And if we respond in a godly way, you know, through patience, through words of building up instead of tearing down, that can be part of the healing for both parties.
And I think it's good for our listeners to know that what we're talking about here is you got to talk this and work through this. But also you can't condone things that are wrong according to God's word, and you can't let those things, because, you know, and I'm sure you've seen it as well. I've been in churches, I've been around people, and they were their children living together, or, you know, ever any of their kids, you know, people living together, anybody, or they were anti, you know, in the area of the gay movement there, you know, anybody. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden one day, one of their kids move in with somebody and start living together, you know. And then somebody becomes gay, you know, and starts a same-sex relationship. And then I've heard him say, well, you know, we know that God doesn't approve of this, but he understands them, and, you know, kind of the needs they have. And though I don't understand this, I'm just going to trust God with this, and I'm just going to, you know, just support them the best way that I can in this and be supportive of it. We got to be careful, don't we, how we're supportive of this kind of stuff?
Yes, we do. And I can understand the coming from the family's side of things of how that can seem. Well, I'm just going to understand God. God understands them. God knows their heart. Yes, most definitely he does. But when we look at throughout Scripture and the teachings, Jesus didn't back away to talk about sin. Now, that doesn't mean that we judge them. What's the word? Admonesty that's in the Bible, where we come alongside of one another, you know, to go to a brother when something's, when they are not doing something that is right. It's harder to do that, right? Because as family members, we don't want conflict. We don't want to be the ball of fire that's going to get the forest going if that's what happens. You know, for instance, when my dad had left to pursue the identity as a woman, he knew that we loved him. There wasn't a question of that. But I could not and would not identify him under that identity because that was a falsehood.
Yes.
Of who he was, but I was very careful in how I spoke with him, in the tone of my voice, and even the words that we choose is a demonstration of the tone that's in our heart.
Yeah. Well, do we not, when we're dealing with this, it's definitely a sin issue, and so we're also dealing with the dark side of an enemy that's there that's just waiting for a confrontation with us. And knows, and knows that he can get it out of that person with us. You know, I mean, when I see a gay pride march or anything like that, I just got to hide my head because it just really troubles my soul, and I really do get aggravated, and I have to be careful, you know, about how I respond. But on the other hand, I probably get more aggravated with people that accept this as normal in the church. And allow people that are living any kind of a lifestyle, whether it's this or anything else, to be part of a church, you know, in the praise and worship team or in teaching kids class or anything like that. I have a real issue then, more so with Christians that are supposed to be Christians and leadership that allows this kind of stuff to go on. We don't want these, when I say these people, we don't want people like this that have got this, anybody, if it's a drinking habit or anything else they've got. We want them in church. We want them to hear the truth and the gospel, but we don't want, I have a problem when the church just accepts it and makes it a part, which we've seen some of our denominations and that lean and do those things.
Yeah, exactly. We are supposed to be the light in the darkness. And if we allow the darkness into the church to be part of what is supposed to be the light is going to diminish, and it's going to become dimmer and dimmer. We are, you know, as Christians, supposed to as well demonstrate the power of God. The fact that he restores daily, that there are lives that have been torn up and shredded, that anybody could have looked at and thought, oh, they'll never make it. But they do, and then they come back with a hunger, or for the first time, a hunger for God. We are not displaying that if we are playing with the darkness, if we are partnering with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, and there's sometimes, I guess, some sins that cut a little deeper than others and hurt, bring a little more hurt. You've got here in the book on page 10, just before you go into the part, Walk With Me, you talk about how somebody here says, how could this be happening? She'd always trusted God, tried to honor him. And it says, you may feel as though God is forsaking you, but he's not. When you walk with somebody that's going through something like this, they sometimes would say things like, well, I'd rather have to go through a divorce than to see a child go into this direction, or I'd rather lose my own life than have to see, you know, there's a real, this can be a real high emotional area.
Yeah, it can. It's also an area, as we had talked about, the enemy, you know, waiting to, at the footstep of the door when anger starts to rise up in somebody. Yeah. And so the same thing that he loves to do is when we are in our despair.
Yeah.
He loves to keep family members in the closet, you know, filled with their shame, with their doubts, with their guilt or their false guilt, their what ifs and what could, because then they're not moving forward in their own healing and becoming stronger in Him, in the Lord.
Yeah. Well, there's a book here and a workbook that goes with it that really can help people out. Now, again, the book's entitled Moving Forward in Hope, and then Moving Forward in Community is a workbook. Now, people want to maybe tell you their story, want to know how to get a hold of this book or try to get some help and in an area like this. How would they go about contacting you?
They would be able to reach us through our website, which is help with the number 4. families.com or .org will work.
Okay.
So it's helpforfamilies.com.org.
All right. I'm sure you have people needing help wanting to contact you all the time because it's becoming more prevalent in our society today. Well, folks, stay with us. We're going to be talking more here with Denise Schick right after this. Stay tuned.
God's Word speaks truth. God's Word speaks life. And God's Word speaks to us today. Hi, I'm Pastor John Marins of the Granby Christian Church. Each week, we explore God's Word together on In the Shadow of Your Wings, a radio broadcast on KMEO. Tune in each Saturday at 6:45 p.m. to hear the show. And if you ever miss it, you can always view the archive online at kmeo.org. We also have the program available as a podcast as well, so you can listen anytime, anywhere. It's available from Sky High Podcast Network. I invite you to check out the show and learn more about our incredible God and how He cares for you. You can trust Him. You can depend on Him, and you can rest in the shadow of His wings.
This is Mark Taylor. If you miss a broadcast of Crosspoint, you can always go to our website at www.kneo.org and click on the programs page. There you can access the current Crosspoint program as well as the last 4 programs that have been aired. Never miss another Crosspoint program again. Go to www.kneo.org today. Welcome back to Crosspoint. I'm Mark Taylor, your host, and my guest today is Denise Schick. We're talking about moving forward in hope, moving forward in the community. It's a Bible study. It's a guide. It's a book, a devotional for families that are caught up in the LGBTQ movement with their loved ones and stuff, and that's a difficult place to be. I know that the book provides help. I was reading there about for parents and loved ones, people that are caught. I know this that you did mention, and I agree, it is a destructive lifestyle, but you have to have a good response to this. And that's really hard when you see, it's kind of like the same thing if you see somebody drinking and they continue to drink and it's growing worse and you know that they're going to shorten their lifespan and everything else is going to, their whole world's going to fall apart if they continue to go in this destructive way of drinking. Well, it's the same in this. But you got to be careful, again, how you work with people in this area.
Yes, you do. To be sensitive any time before meeting, even if it's just a friend from church that just found out their friend's going to come to them and, you know, is going through one of these difficult journeys, to be praying for the Holy Spirit to be present, for the Holy Spirit to guide you in any words that you would speak to uplift somebody. And we can do so much of that through knowing our scriptures, to know what verses to give them, to help them to hang on to God. One of the devastating things that I've seen happen through ministry are where family members that call and they struggle and they become worn out from their situation. And so they cave in to whatever demands that their loved one is asking. And by the time they call us back, they are so much worse off than that first call because they realize, in a sense, of the damage that they've done and don't know how to get back. You know, then they really do carry a guilt about that. And so it's people, the church, we need to be patient when walking with the family members or the individual that's come to seek Christ out. They need patience and they need somebody dedicated to stand by their side.
Yeah. Well, compromise will always cost it, and it cost us, and it'll always give the devil a seat at the table when we do those kind of things, which makes throws more gas on the fire, so to speak, that you're already trying to put out. How can parents or friends accept people who embrace this lifestyle without compromising their own understanding of God's word, no matter what? I mean, how are you able to work through this as a Christian without just taking the wrong direction, I guess, in response?
I think it's important to remember that they, that the loved one is as well created by the Lord above, that he is their maker. And in that, it doesn't mean just because you're accepting their humanity and that the fact that they do deserve respect as a human being any differently than anybody else, but to rather look at the way that you can express love. That's usually what becomes the devil's triangle for folks. They'll say, how do I love? Well, my reminder to you is, remember, you never stopped loving your loved one when they come out gay or transgender. If anything, your love has deepened because you understand that they are lost, that they are not walking accordance to God's plan for their life, and they've separated from God. So in that, it brings a reminder to us that we do love them. I never stopped loving my dad. Not from the moment that he came out struggling or that he had left and all the things that happened in between and after. That love hurt. And so true, genuine love does hurt. And we have to recognize that. But you can show your loved one that you do continue to love them by continuing to reach out like you do. Maybe it's a college student that you have in your home. Reach out through a text and just say, hey, thinking about you today. Wondering how your day's going. The simple way of communicating that we normally do, it doesn't mean that we have to stop doing that. It's more important that we remember to do the things that we do in our normal life. Maybe it's going to a restaurant, you know, that your loved one for the birthday, to let them pick a restaurant that they want to go to, if, depending on the circumstances, where you're at. There are different ways. Gift cards, hello cards, reaching out, you know, do you need help this weekend with the cat, with babysitting the dogs, or maybe for a son that the dad can help work on the car. All of those type of relational aids are helpful to the individual to see, oh, they're not judging me, they haven't dismissed me. They haven't rejected me as a person.
Yeah. Well, of course, your own personal experience in this is what's brought you, I guess, into this type of ministry and stuff of what you do. But how does the book and the workbook, how's it designed to help people that's going through these situations?
The devotional is meant to give them a real story, you know, somebody to connect with, so that they know they're not alone. Like, oh my gosh, you know, somebody else does understand what I'm going through. Well, we also give a scripture for them to concentrate, to really look at and to reflect on. Moving Forward in Community took it a step further. With that, taking 12 of those devotionals and moving them over into the workbook that included various different families sharing their story through a video that they can get through the QR code that is embedded in the workbook, or they can go to the website and Google it themselves. And so they are aids to helping families that say, oh, I'm really not alone in this. If they have no other support, hopefully and prayfully, it will be a support system through these resources to help them take the next step.
Yeah. Now, with the book and the workbook, let's go into a little deeper, more troubling part of this lifestyle. You've got situations now where young people, a very young age, are being told in the schools and stuff, you know, that they can transition to somebody else or be somebody else than what they registered at school to be. So now parents have got drawn in to these situations where their children are young and the schools are hiding stuff from them sometimes, or helping their students, or helping the students and not telling the parents about what's going on. And then one day it all blows up, the parent finds out, now you've got issues with the school board, school, law enforcement, whatever the case may be. How do you help people in that? Because there's got to be some anger involved. You got to work through that anger so that this is worked rightly, because what you're doing is you're dealing with an outside source. You're mad at the school, you're suing them, whatever the case may be, but there's still a child in the middle.
Yeah, right. And so it's important, first of all, for the parents to come together in an understanding of how important their home environment, the time that the children are with them, that they have the biggest influence. When it comes to the influences outside of the home, it's like at home we try to put a Band-Aid on the damage that's been done. But we can let our children know, no matter what age, that the communication at home, the relationship with communicating, to having a safe environment to talk to about these issues, so that they know they have a question, or maybe, you know, as well about what's being taught in school. I think parents also need to be aware of what is being taught in school. What are the teachers possibly teaching, or what kind of books, whether it's about history, if it's about library books, anything that they need to try to stay as in tuned as possible. And to remember that also at home, with taking care of trying to improve our communication skills with our children, that we can teach them how, through our own role modeling, to be a female or a male. In particularly, even in a healthy marriage, not to speak down in front of the children of one another at all. We have teachable moments. Look for those teachable moments. Maybe mom had a really bad day at school. She's a teacher, and she come home really frustrated. The traffic was terrible, and making lasagna just seemed a little bit too difficult for her. And so, you know, just in the children seeing how mom is dealing with stress, well, let's do pizza. Hey, kids, you know, had a bad day at school today. How about if we have pizza? Or maybe the child had a bad day at school. And to ask them about alternative ways that they could have dealt with the situation to deal with the stress. There's so many things that, honestly, that we do have the power to do at home.
Let's go into this. How could the book, how could the workbook, you hate to have to talk to little children and younger children anyway about these issues, because they're, to me, it's, there's a real dark side to it. There's a real demonic side to it in a way here, and for sure. And so these are some things you want to more or less protect your kids from, but it's all around them, everywhere they go. I mean, you don't just have to go to school. Go to Walmart. Go anywhere.
Yes.
And you're liable to see somebody dressed, you know, like a man dressed like a woman walking by you. There's a lot of things, with a beard, of course, you know. And so these things confuse kids. They're going to ask questions. How do you take care of this in the home, maybe before you get out?
You know, that's why it's so important that we don't pretend at home that this isn't happening, or think that we're going to wait for our children to bring the conversation to the dinner table. And so by opening up and, you know, knowing what's going on in their school, but just in general, to be that safe place where you can, at age appropriate language, to start a discussion around these issues. It might be where they've read a book, or a teacher assigned a book. Maybe they seen something in the Walmart magazine, you know, that somebody's transitioning or somebody went to a gay wedding. That opens up the opportunity to be able to speak and to teach your children, and also the opportunity to teach and reinforce the child's great value as image bearers of God. So we can do all those things. You know, we can help them to remember that they are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah.
It gives us the opportunity to build in them an emotional bank account, to build in them, you know, their self-esteem. Because so many times with those that struggle with these or identify as LGBT, they don't think a whole lot of themselves. There's something they don't like. And so they think by going into another life style that they will like themselves even more.
Yeah. Now, you opened up another thought here along the lines of, and I know you've dealt with it here in your books and you deal with it in your ministry, but age-old question, you get a call, you get a letter, and somebody says, a text, whatever, however they contact your ministry, my son is marrying a man, and they want me to come to the wedding. My daughter's marrying another woman, and she wants me to come to the wedding, and I don't want to go, or I'm really fighting against this because I don't know how I'm going to react. Again, this is a real debatable spot, even in the church. There's a minister well known that here recently made some statements about that and got himself in some hot water and how he responded to it. How do you talk to somebody about this?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the questions that I asked them to see where they are is, what do you think Jesus would do? And I asked this recently when I met with two women that had both of them had children that were identifying as gay. And the conversation was coming up between the two of them. What do I do with this? And, you know, on and on. And I said, what do you think Jesus would do? And the one mom looked at me and she said, well, knowing Jesus, he'd be gracious and he'd go and say, be kind and loving to everybody. My response was, do you really think that he would do that when that is a total rejection of the reason that he created male and female? How could he be there to be a part of a celebration of something that he would call inherent? Yeah. He could not, you know, to stand there in a celebration of the sin itself. Yeah. And she just looked at me, but it made me realize as the conversation went afterwards, you know, as Christians, there's from the lack of this being taught in the churches, addressed in the churches, there are many godly, great women and women and men of God that just don't know the scriptures.
That's true. So true.
Don't understand the scriptures. And we've heard for so many years, God is good, God is love, God is... Yes, he is all those things. But he also has the line of what is sin and what is not sin.
It could be the same question. Well, they're drag queens and I want to go watch them perform in a drag queen bar or something like that. Do I go do that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that are out there. Well, folks, stay with us. We've got a lot of interesting talk going today. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have 5 minutes for God? I'm Pastor Ed Wilson, and I believe there's no better way to begin each morning than spending a little time with him. That's why every weekday morning I bring you a short devotional broadcast designed just for that. Look up God's 5 minutes wherever you get your podcasts to kickstart your spiritual walk for each day, and we'll always do it in 5 minutes or less. Have you talked to God today?
Well, it seems like every time that I'm struggling with something or I'm going through something, it always changes my outlook and my attitude and the way I see things.
This is 91.7 The Word.
It's very encouraging here.
Radio that impacts your future.
Welcome back to Crosspoint. Hey, we're having a good discussion today with Denise Schick, talking about her book, Moving Forward in Hope, workbook, Moving Forward in Community. Now, Denise, if somebody wanted to find out more about these books, wanted to just send you an email or whatever, or other stuff you've done, because you've wrote other books as well, how do they do that?
Yeah, they would go to help4families.com or .org, and so that's Help for Families with the number 4, and they can go there. And as you said, other books, we also have our children's series that we had started a few years back to address these topics, you know, whether it is the child that is struggling with how they are feeling, or there's children in the home the adults are trying to educate the children through a safe resource. And that brings us back to, you had asked about, you know, our children at home, specifically young children, that how do we know what they're thinking, or how do we begin to talk about that? And I've heard from families that are actually using these books to begin addressing them, because they do come from strictly a godly and biblical manner, but going into the depth of why the child might as well be struggling with this. And there are some simple questions that parents can ask. You know, have you heard gender issues or homosexuality discussed at your school? You know, what messages do you get about this issue from your friends or your teachers? And as well, how do you think God intended relationships to be, and why? So by asking our children questions, we get feedback on what they're hearing, what they're thinking, and how can we possibly build that knowledge up or counter the lies that they are coming back home with.
Yeah. Now, how does the workbook help in alignment with the book? A book's got a lot of stories, but now the workbook's a little different. Tell people how the workbook helps.
The workbook helps because as we had taken 12 of these devotionals in the designing of it, we ask, you know, questions as well that are all scriptural questions. As I just had opened up the book just to grab a page, such as on 57, you know, where I've got Numbers 7:89, Hebrews 9:5, you know, which explanation is more meaningful to you and why? So we're asking questions, trying to have people dig into the Word of God to where it can minister to their heart and allow them to write their own answers. I say everybody's journey is different. We all have similarities, but what we're going through many times is just a bit different than somebody else's. Yeah. And we also have, you know, a place to apply what they're learning through the certain lesson and to be praying and asking for other scriptures for them to memorize or come to know.
Well, with this being such a devastating lifestyle, to especially kind of flying in the face of Christianity, the next biggest thing I would think, or maybe the hardest part of all, and I'm sure you've faced it, you discuss these things in your books, what happens when you've got a boy wanting to transcend, you know, be a girl, or a girl wanting to be a boy, and they start wanting to remove body parts and do? I mean, that's got to be pretty hard when you've held that little girl in your arm. You know what that little girl is. You had that little girl. She was born, and what it says on the birth certificate, and now she's saying, I'm a boy, and she's cutting stuff off of her body. I mean, that has to be just literally devastating.
It is, because when we realize when they've cut healthy body parts off of their body, it's not like we can put those original parts back on. So their life has been altered, you know, to a certain extent. And so for the parents that are going through this, where their child's come home and saying that they feel, you know, if they're just coming home and saying, I'm feeling this way, well, you know, could you explain to me more about that? When did you begin to feel this way? Which allows more questions to come in to see where was the beginning, what was going on. Now, in the midst of this, sometimes there does need to be some counseling needs. And many times, you know, that happens. But when we also realize that there is personality disorder, there's different psychiatric underlying issues that can be a part of this, obsessive compulsive disorder, these are all sometimes a part of why somebody wants to do that way. But in today's world, and I say this more in today's world because we have this social contagion going on, where now that we've walked out in the world where it's not sin, where it's not rebellion against God, because in a sense, man's saying that we've become our own creator, we can do to our bodies what we want, and there's nothing wrong with it. We have to realize that in society and that influence, that this is why we are where we are today with the young people.
Yeah.
There is no shame. There is no struggle. This is just who you are, and this is what they're being told in school through their school counselors, through their teachers, and others that are of influence to them. But we need to be patient and kind and understanding, and also take a look at our relationship with our children. So if dad has worked a lot of overtime through the years or just isn't able to be around a lot because of his work, to see how can he possibly be at home more, and how can he be available to that child more on a one-on-one basis. With mom, sometimes it's with a son because she's been around more in that type of situation. The son's really attached to the mom, where mom needs to learn to counter that and say, well, go ask your dad well, why don't you go find out from your dad? Why don't you go, you know, let's go see your dad together, trying to draw him more towards the dad. Now, if it's the mom that doesn't understand because her daughter's more mechanically inclined, boy, do I get that. I have a daughter that was in ballet all through elementary and high school. Then I had another daughter, and she went to dance 3 times, and she said, Mom, I'm not a girly girl like my sister. She loves to study and know cars. She likes to go out and target shoot with her dad. She liked to do all these different things that I didn't know anything about. I could have cared less about cars, but I understood that I had to get interested to be able to participate in discussions with her. So sometimes it's us parents pulling ourselves out of our own world to become more involved in their world and take a look at our relationships. How can we strengthen them? How can we build this child up?
Now, in lesson 5 of the workbook, it's called Moving Beyond Controlling Behaviors. And in there, you say, if we fall into Satan's trap, then our lives aren't unfolding according to the plan. Self-pity knocks on our heart and wants to take up permanent residence in our mind. A couple lines down later, then you say, our sin nature is self-centered, and we are hardwired to protect our rights and pursue what we think we deserve. Well, we can all think we deserve this. We can think a lot of things, but just because we think it does not make it right.
Right. Yes, exactly. And ultimately, when it comes to controlling behaviors, control because we don't want to be hurt. We think if we can control this situation, if we can make our whoever it is that's identifying, if we do X, Y, and Z, you know, then they're going to understand and this is going to go away. Either way, what we're trying to do is to control the situation and control them. And that's not our place. That is an area where we need to learn more about trusting God.
Yeah. And I know there are some people, they're just, you know, there's always somebody's kind of got some tendency to have. There's one little thing, if you ever get on that one nerve, you know, you got an issue. But I've noticed, you know, you start talking to people about things they maybe shouldn't be doing with their body. A good area would be tattoos. That is a real hot spot to talk about among Christians in the church when you start bringing that issue up. If you talk about this LGBTQ, it gets a little more intense, a little more different in the discussion. But there's so many things out there that challenge us to what we've got to know for sure, like what we believe. And what you said earlier about knowing God's word is so important.
Yeah.
Because the truth is God's word. And if we know the truth, then at least we know, even though we don't understand it quite the way we should, but we still know that we can trust it.
Yes, exactly. He is our all in all, no matter what we're going through. I know I wouldn't have made it out of my journey where I am today. I don't even honestly think I'd be here today if it wasn't for the Lord.
Yeah.
And so no matter what somebody's going through, maybe somebody that's listening to you and I, to know that they can trust him, they can grab a hold of him, and he will walk with you through this. He cries with you.
Yeah.
His heart breaks as your heart breaks.
And you mentioned this too, and moving beyond denial, that's another part of the workbook. I'm looking there at page 14. It says, Scripture presents two important realities about life. First, no matter what we do or how we live, some crises are going to sucker punch us. We live in a sin-cursed world, and the enemy of our souls hates us and will do everything possible to discourage our walk and drive us away from God. And if we allow the enemy to do that, we suffer and he celebrates. And then you say, faith is a precious gift from God that will carry you through crisis. So faith is a key, is it not?
It is. It is. And we have to realize that that's what's at risk. That is what is at risk for for family members. This isn't just about your loved one. What does God want to show you through this about his relationship with you? And will you come out on the other end of the road, of this path, and say, I still trust you, Lord. Yes, you are my number one.
And I guess everybody gets involved and needs to talk about this. Lesson 9 of the workbook's Moving Toward Boundaries. And in there you talk about, you say, I won't back down from the guidelines God's given in Scripture. And you say, sooner or later, our faith is going to be tested. And you said we can smile and play the Christian game, pretending our lives are perfect, acting happy while we're dying inside. And I believe when somebody gets this kind of news, they've tried to do the best for their kids. They don't understand. You want to talk about dying inside this. You've got somebody dying in a sin and in a way, and you got somebody dying from that sin in another way.
Yes, the ripple effects are just ongoing, and you do die inside. Every time that somebody would ask a parent, you know, how is your son doing? How's your daughter doing? Or for the wife, how's your husband, when they have no clue, you know, that he's left. For the child that no longer has a dad that identifies as a dad, you die. There's a part of us that dies inside and it has to work so hard to survive through God's intervenience of coming in to save us.
Yeah. Well, folks, I know that what we've been talking about today is something that just has to be addressed in our society. This church never had to deal with these things 30 years ago. Well, it was there, but they didn't have to deal with it like it's in the front of our face today. And Denise, you put together these two books, and Moving Forward in Hope. It's a devotional for families of LGBTQ and loved ones, and then the Moving Forward in Community, the Bible study companion for this. And it's, you know, one's a little bit bigger book than the other one, but they're both good books to have, and sad to say, but it's necessary in our culture today that we know about these things. I'm very careful in talking about them because I want to make sure and people understand I do not condone this, but we can't throw people on the bus because of it. And we're caught up in this lifestyle can be kind of military sometimes in a way. I mean, they want to be very aggressive and they want to fight. And so, Denise, I know that you've got quite a work on your hands. Thank you for doing a work like this, because this is a real challenging work, what you're doing, and it's something that's not going away. We're going to have to face it until Jesus removes us from this earth. And so I appreciate you writing these books. And again, tell people how they can find out about them, how they can also go about, you know, maybe contacting your ministry if they need help, if they need somebody to talk to, or maybe you can get a Bible study group going or something from the workbook. How would they do that?
Yeah, by contacting us through the help with the number 4families.com or .org. And there's our email, our contact, our phone number. We'd be more than happy to help you with whatever need or request that you have.
Okay. All right. Well, again, Denise, thank you so much for taking time to be with us on Crosspoint. Maybe we can revisit some of this later on with some other stuff you do, because like I said, it's an issue that's not going to go away, and we are going to have to address it. So thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Oh, folks, I thought this was a good interview today. I hate to have to talk about this stuff that's so much, but it's in our face. And it's issues we have to deal with. The books are good books. The book I Have on My Other Hand is the greatest book ever was, ever will be, the Holy Bible. It's God's Word. It's never outdated. And these words of truth apply for today because they're inspired words of God. And it doesn't matter what's going on today. These words are never outdated. And it accurately directs your life. If you want to follow it, it contains the most important words you're ever going to read and ever need to be following. Be sure and join us again next time as we discuss issues that are affecting the church. Have a great week. Allow God to use you for His purposes so that greater things can be done. Make your life count in God's plans for eternity. I'm Mark Taylor.
Crosspoint is a program produced in Studio 101 at KNAO Radio. Not all of the views on Crosspoint reflect those of the management or staff of KNAO. You may contact the Crosspoint program at 10827 Highway 86 East, Neosho, Missouri, 64850, or by email crosspoint@kneo.org. You can hear Crosspoint 4 times a week, Saturday morning at 1, Saturday afternoon at 2, Saturday evening at 9, and Sunday evening at 7. You can also listen anytime online at kneo.org.
Are you a Christian who likes to read? If not, there's a whole world of Christian publishing out there that you're missing out on. I invite you to check out the Author's Corner podcast, where I talk to the latest Christian authors each week about their new book releases and what's coming next. So if you're ready to jumpstart your spiritual growth with the newest books and the authors who write them, check out the Author's Corner podcast with me, Roberta Foster. Harper's Kennel of Stella, Missouri is proud to be sponsoring this portion of broadcasting on KNEO. Owned by Judy and Danny Harper, Harper's Kennel of Stella, Missouri specializes in French Bulldogs. For more information, the phone number is 417-628-3083.